always had high, high hopes for a living. Those are the words of Panic at the Disco, and this is the Fat Man Chronicles.
I was not hiding. I was unsure. And I was really right there. You in my life, you got me
alone. I couldn't even look at you when I did. Welcome to episode 65 of the Fat Man Chronicles. I am Pete. And sitting across from me, as always, is my beautiful wife, Gretchen. And we are a regular couple on the journey with you to health, fitness, weight loss, and a better life. How you doing for the second time this week?
I know, right? People are going to get spoiled.
Well, you know, we did miss a couple of weeks. And I mean, I think we only had two episodes in February.
Yeah, right?
Maybe three, but
still.
It wasn't a lot.
Nope.
We've gone a few weeks not recording. We had an opportunity to interview one of your
my coworkers. Yep.
So we took that opportunity and it was fantastic, and that's the bulk of this episode.
Yeah.
But we thought we'd catch up with everybody real quick. Uh-huh. And you know, I'm only a couple of days out now from becoming a marathoner.
Right.
Barring anything catastrophic.
Oh my gosh, why would you even jinx yourself like that?
It's not about jinxing. It's jinxing. I am going to do it.
You're going to do it.
I have high, high hopes.
For a living.
Right. I always love the name of that group because, you know, the exclamation point after Panic.
After Panic, yeah. I know. You say it every time, too.
Well, but it's the first time here.
True.
You've just had to hear it for years.
Yes, many times.
Well, I mean, are there? Why don't you tell everybody what's in that bottle?
That bottle.
I mean, we've got a bottle out.
We have a bottle.
I had some last night. So we interviewed Lou Thursday night,
yeah.
We're recording this Friday night.
Yes.
And I don't have anything in front of me tonight, but I did have a nip last night.
You did have some last night. So this is a Centennial Zinfandel 2011 from Lodi, California. And it's from Lagan Twins.
I would just go Lang Twins.
Lang Twins?
Yeah.
So it's very good. I am having a little more tonight as we pack up and get ready to leave. So,
well, it's an early flight.
It's
an early cab ride to the airport.
Yep, we're leaving at 4 o'clock tomorrow because you wanted to make sure you were in Virginia with plenty of time to kind of relax and get to the expo and stuff. So we have to take two planes. There is no direct flight from Chicago to Newport News, Virginia.
That's shocking.
Who knew? So we're actually going through Atlanta. I told my boss, I'm like, well, I can always make this a work trip, you know, but... Yeah, she didn't want me to. So
well, originally
fine.
You were supposed to go through Philly.
Right. Yeah, we thought about we were going to go through Philly.
But they canceled that flight on us.
Yes, they did. Well, no, they didn't cancel it. They delayed it like by 6 hours.
Okay, that's canceling. They made it a different flight.
Completely different flight.
And so. I was excited about that just because of the symmetry of flying through Philly with Andy as that's where Coach Andy's from.
We would have waved. But
you know,
alas.
Maybe he would have come to the airport for a fist bump.
There you go.
Who knows?
Through security.
Or maybe even a chest bump. Who knows?
As the STSA like tackles him.
Well, we could have gone outside of security.
True,
and gone
true.
Back in.
That is
I
true.
Think.
I think so. Yeah, I think
I,
you.
I don't
be
know
able
why
to.
You wouldn't be able
yeah,
to. Your ticket.
You have a ticket. So.
So one of the things on the bottle of wine that I thought was interesting is they told us how many barrels.
105th vintage.
You're right. Which.
Oh. I see.
Is weird.
56 barrels made.
Right. So that sounds like that's not a lot of wine, right?
No.
That's a lot of wine.
It's a lot of wine.
It's over. I mean, there's like 300 bottles to a barrel, so.
It's a lot.
So that's almost 17,000 bottles.
Second day, just as delicious.
There you go. That's all that really matters.
Yep.
All right. So we only talked a few days ago, but are there any views from the couch updates? Anything that is breaking news that people need to know?
Well, they unearthed the Masked Singer. So all the masks, they finished the Masked Singer. That's done. So
there's a winner of the Masked
Singer. There is a winner of the Masked Singer. And if you have a spoiler, I mean, it's been a couple days, and I don't know, unless you're living underneath a rock, I feel like you know who it is. I mean,
okay,
it was all over my Google feed, maybe because I, you know, watched or whatever.
Yeah,
but
not on mine.
Not on yours.
I don't know who won.
Okay.
And this is a spoiler. So if you haven't watched it and you don't want to know the winner, you hit have, hit the fast forward.
For like, you know,
a couple of minutes.
Yeah, exactly. So I was right. Everyone right? Okay. So I was right about who the rabbit was. It was Joey Fatone. He was not the winner. I was right about Gladys Knight. Okay. She was the bee. She was amazing. Like, she's a legend. I mean, and just her voice, it's just... And then I was also right about Donny Osmond. So, like, I called Donny from, like, day one. I'm like, he is the peacock. I know it's him. And it was.
Donny strutting around the stage
strutting
like a peacock.
Like a peacock. I mean, again, amazing performers. So then the winner was the monster. Linda and I had no clue the entire time. Like, we had no clue. Like, they talked about being a sportscaster, a boxer. I mean, it's just all over the place.
Sugar Ray?
T-Pain.
I don't know who that is.
Neither did we. We had to look him up. He's a rapper.
Oh.
From Auto-Tune. He's like an Auto-Tune guy.
Yeah. Okay. I do know who it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought you would know. Linda and I thought you would know who
I do.
It is. Yeah.
It just took me a second.
We had no idea. We had to look it up. We had to Google. Like, no idea who it was.
Well, big congrats to T-Pain.
But his voice, oh my, so he's known for, like, the auto-tune and, like, he's done a lot of that stuff. But his voice, his raw voice is just amazing. Truly, truly amazing.
So, I mean, does that mean, like,
he beat
Gladys Knight?
Beat Gladys Knight.
There's something just not right about that. He's laying down the T-Pain on Gladys Knight.
Gladys came in third. Donnie beat Gladys.
Well.
So that was the big. That was the
wow. Big stuff.
Big stuff this weekend.
Hopefully we didn't spoil anybody's shows.
I apologize if I did, but I would still go back and watch the performances because, I mean.
Wow, you're really, really into this.
I really love it. And I'm sad that it's over.
No, I don't remember you watching like American Idol or The Voice or any of those others.
No. This.
So was it the costumes that did it for you?
I think it was because like it was the mystery as far as like who, like knowing that they're celebrities, right? And knowing that they're not all singers. Now, the top three were all singers, but not everyone was a singer. I mean, Tori Spelling's not known for her voice, you know. Rumor Willis. Rumor Willis was one of the top ones, too. I mean, you don't know her for her voice. And so it's
kind of
cool.
Well, it's not like she comes from untalented parents.
Right, exactly. And that was one of her things. Like, she comes from Hollywood royalty, and she does. I mean, Demi Moore and Bruce Willis, you can't go wrong. But
Though you've never seen Die Hard.
Never seen Die Hard. I really enjoyed the show. I didn't think I would. I wouldn't. But I think it was like, you know, they give you the clues and there's a mystery and you're trying to figure it out. And then you have great performances and I enjoyed it. And now I'm very sad because it's over. It's coming back for another season, but that's like a year away.
Okay. So, well, there you have it.
That's all I got.
That is a big views from the couch
big
update.
Big views.
And I'm only a couple days out. Are you going to be training while out there with me or...
No, I'll be working.
Okay.
I'll be working.
Like when you're watching on the course, are you going to, what's the agenda? Are you going to be eating some ice cream in front of me? Are you,
oh, that's a good idea. Like a donut. No. And I feel tomorrow I have a lot of my own homework to do because I have not figured out where I'm going to see you along the course yet. So I still haven't. I know you sent me the link, and I think that has a decent map on it. So hopefully, I'm hoping that this, at the expo tomorrow they have like a paper. I'm all about paper. I need, like, I have to write down where I'm gonna go and stuff, and so I need to visualize it that way. And
all right, well, and we got to get you,
yeah,
texting with Heather to see
exactly.
If you guys could meet up a little bit, and
yeah,
so. All that. So
but, yeah, but yeah, maybe you know. Do you want me to throw stuff on you while you're running?
No.
No? Okay.
No.
How about Rob? Throw stuff on Rob while he's running?
No. I need his support.
Okay. All right. So then, yeah, no. I'll just be there. If I'll probably, you know.
Repping the podcast, though.
I will. I'll be wearing my, I don't know, should I say what I'm going to wear?
You want to keep it secret?
I don't know. No. I'm going to wear my Views from the Couch shirt because I think that's appropriate for me watching. Because, like, I'll probably be working in between, but I'll probably be watching some shows or something while I'm waiting for you between the mile markers.
I want you to jump up and down like the one Seinfeld episode and just yell, "You're all winners.
You're all winners."
All right. Well, that's great. I mean, yep. I think that we're going to be getting on a plane bright and early. I'm going to try to edit this to get it out tonight or tomorrow morning. Mm-hmm. If I can't get it done tonight, I'll figure it out tomorrow.
There we go.
While on the planes.
But we have a great interview coming up here for you guys.
We do, but we have one more announcement before then.
Oh, yes.
So as you know, listening to the podcast, we've been not spot on with our diet and exercise program and our weight loss where we want to be. And we need to get back on track.
We've
talked about this. So we thought we would invite the 17. I think we're up to 17 now.
Nice.
The 17 of you are along for the ride. If you so feel that you need to do some weight loss too. And starting March 12th, it's a Tuesday because I don't believe you should start these things on a Monday. I don't know why.
Mondays are hard enough as it is.
Right. Right. So we're going to start this on Tuesday, March 12th, a 4-month, 120-day weight loss challenge.
Yes.
So I'm going to make a Facebook group and invite everybody.
Yep. All 17 of you.
Right. And, you know, and we're going to share goals, put the goals out there and find encouragement. And, you know, to me, it's going to be one of those places where if you need a little tough love, ask for it. And you're going to get it. I don't think it can be all rah-rah.
No.
There's tough love that can come in really handy. So,
yeah,
you don't have to share everything if you don't want, but it doesn't have to be just weight loss. It's a weight loss and health challenge, but weight loss is kind of the central theme to this.
Yeah.
Because we have some goals that, you know, we've been trying to hit, and four months of trying to stay pretty spot on.
We can do this. We've done it. We can do this. It'll get us a nice little kickstart into the summer, and it'll be great.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm looking to get that, you know, Speedo body back.
I'm just looking to not like be embarrassed by all the pictures on the cruise. That's what I'm hoping not to be.
So look for that in about a week or so. I will have the Facebook group made. We will invite everybody. We'll talk about it a little bit more on the next. And in there too, we'll share your challenges. If you don't want them shared, then you just have to kind of put,
please don't share.
Outside hashtag the group. Not public.
Yeah, exactly.
but we'll come up with an easy hashtag to make sure that we don't say anything you don't want us to say. And we won't say first and last names. We typically don't.
No, we try not to.
Unless somebody really wants to.
Yeah.
And then we'll just start with Kevin.
There we go.
And no matter what.
He has no secrets.
All right. Well, that's it.
Yep.
So let's get over to this interview with Lou Pagato. I really want to call him Sweet Lou Pagato.
So I call him Mr. Pagato from Canada. Like every time we answer
the
phone.
Oh, it's our first Canadian guest.
Mr. Pagato from Canada.
All right, let's get over. All right, we're heading over to an interview with one of Gretchen's coworkers.
Yes.
We've got Mr. Lou Pagato on the line with us via Skype. How are you?
Howdy, folks. How's your evening going?
It's going good.
It's going well. Welcome to the Fat Man Chronicles. And I think, Lou, you are our first Canadian guest.
Well, anything to bump up the ratings up here, guys. Anything.
We're trying to appeal to our international audience.
Well,
here.
We're big in Canada. That's our second largest market.
Good. Well, anything I can do to boost things along, and you know, maybe we'll set up a distribution center here for all the swag you guys have on your store.
There you go.
Because we do need like a relay, because the shipping to the Canada is, might as well ship it straight to like Japan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not much different.
Yeah.
Kind of crazy. Well, yeah, let's jump in and just get a little bit of background on you, Lou. Just kind of tell us, you know, who you are, where you came from, how you grew up, and get us into today.
Just for the listeners, I've been working with Gretchen now for how many years? I mean, how long have you been with Infor?
I think it's been, I was thinking about this. I think we've been working together. I've been with Infor for 11 years. And so I think we've pretty much worked together almost since I started for the most part. Okay. So I want to say 11 years together.
Oh, Lou, I'm so sorry.
Well, I was very excited after Gretchen explained that you guys had this the podcast and you had done a bunch of work, and I was surprised to see that you had so many episodes under wing at this point in time. But so I thought I might have a story here, so I just thought I'd share some things with you. I know, Pete, you're running marathon number one this weekend.
I am.
I think I may have been around the same age as you when I ran my first one, and I'll just kind of go back and kind of get me to that point where I ran my first one. I'll explain what happened between 1957 and 2001 when I ran my first one, and we'll see how the lessons I've learned, and maybe I can pass some things off to you along the way, but to help you along. But in any event, I come from a small town in southern Ontario. Nothing outstanding in my upbringing. I wasn't an athlete of any sort. I'm the son of an immigrant parents from Italy. The town that I come from had a cement quarry or a limestone quarry where a lot of Italians came over and sought their first job in Canada. And I was the son of a set of parents that came into that working relationship in a small town. That small town, Pete, you're a hockey fan, aren't you? Are you a Blackhawks fan?
I
Of
am,
course,
yes.
of course.
Okay. Well, just the town is probably 15 miles away from where Patrick Kane played junior hockey.
American born Patrick Kane, though.
American born Patrick Kane. But there's only one place to play junior hockey, Pete. You know that,
It's
right?
that's
It's
true.
up in Canada. In any event, I came from a small town. Didn't distinguish myself athletically. Played street hockey. Went to high school. Dabbled in volleyball, basketball, football. But my love was baseball. I was a decent infielder, but I was just small and didn't do much more athletically until I got through college. And in college, decided to take up some running just to keep myself in shape. Between Thursday night drunks, and so took up 5Ks and 10Ks just to kind of have an activity to strive for in between studying and in between drinking.
Least
After
you
I
had the
left
studying
college.
in there as well. It wasn't just the drinking, you had the studying in, so that's good.
I was studying, yeah. So I came out of college at that point, started a career, met a lady, lovely lady, got married, raised three kids, and of course that puts everything on hold as far as activities because everything is obviously geared towards raising that family. And then of course kids grow up, they become more self-sufficient. They develop their own interests and friendships, and I don't want to hang around with the folks very much. And so I found myself having a lot of time in my hands, or more time in my hands, excuse me, really. As we reach the millennium, perhaps that was the impetus for me to say, I've got to do something for me in terms of achieving a goal athletically. Because I really didn't really have much to do up to that point, other than some leisurely running, and my baseball career was over.
You weren't going pro. You weren't going to play for the Jays.
No, my knees were gone as well as a result of injury, and I had two or three scopes in my knees, so I couldn't pivot and throw the ball from shortstop to first base the way I used to. I'd run some half marathons and then ultimately decided right around 2001 that I really would like to try a marathon just to say I'd done it. You reach that magic age, you're over 40 years of age. There are things that are you have left to do, and you have a bucket list and you pursue. And that's where I was at that point in time.
See, now a marathon is not on my bucket list, I have to say. That's where you guys differ from me. I'm good if I never get to that.
Yeah, well, it was a long shot for me because I didn't think I could do the training necessary, and I chose the Casino Niagara Marathon, which is a cross-border marathon. It starts in the U.S. and comes to Canada and ends up in Niagara Falls, Canada. The
Nice.
problem
That's what I
was,
was looking at.
yeah, Pete was looking at that one as well.
well, the problem was I was looking at it in the year 2001,
Oh.
specifically October of 2001.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a bad, that would be a bad time.
So they had to, as a result of the events in New York City, they had to recast the marathon, redo it very, very quickly, reroute it, and it was all done in Canada. So nonetheless, it's a marathon. It's 26.2, and I ran it, and a very, very disappointing time. And I thought,
but you completed it though.
I completed it, yes, but very, very disappointed in my time. And I thought, I've got to give it one more shot just to see if that just to make sure that what I experienced in Niagara wasn't going to be the highlight of my marathon career. So then joined a running group, and I'm not sure, Pete, if you just run with a couple of buddies or if you run with a running group, but
nobody wants to run with me, Lou.
Okay,
it's a lot of solo miles.
I joined a running group, and it was fun. I mean, we ran together twice a week, Saturdays and Sundays long runs, and I learned a lot from these people, and. 6 months later, about 6 months later, I ran my second marathon and shaved 50 minutes off my time. So I thought,
wow,
okay, this is good.
Where was that second marathon?
Second marathon was in Ottawa. That was that's where my daughter lives, and I ran the I forget what it was called. It was just the Ottawa Marathon, and I did okay. And then I came out of that, and the euphoria of shaving 50 minutes off your marathon time leads you to believe that, man, the next one I can shave off another 25 minutes, right? And of course, it's diminishing returns. The first marathon in 2001 really started my 6 year dive, my deep dive into marathoning. The second marathon convinced me that maybe I had some talent here and maybe I could really, really push my performance. And maybe I could qualify for Boston. And so thus began the the pursuit of that goal. And it took me a couple of years and a couple of tries, but eventually I got a qualifying time. Ran my third marathon. I went to a destination. I went to Venice, Italy, and ran my third marathon, and it was great because. My family is from Northern Italy and they live maybe 15, 20 minutes. So I was able to go to Venice and run a marathon in late 2001. I was a fall marathon. I did not do very well. Qualify.
Oftentimes that marathon has a lot of water on the course.
It's water and it's also bridges. And that was the right. One thing I wasn't banking on. It was like something like 40 bridges you had to go over. So you're constantly going up and down stairs to get to the bridge, across the bridge, down again. And you're right. There was plywood all over the course.
Just
barely above the water line that you had to cross over. So it was a tough course. It was a warm day, but I didn't hit my goal.
Well, and also somewhere around 17 million pigeons will be in Venice at any point in time. So
any point in time, yes, it was they were distracting. And so I didn't hit the threshold at that one, and then it took me another 2 years to run on the other marathon, the next marathon, and that was a 2004, and finally I ran in Toronto, a flat course, and was able to qualify for Boston.
Was it the Toronto Marathon?
It was, yeah, the Scotiabank Toronto Marathon, yeah. Which is a fall marathon. They have two a year. They have a spring marathon. I forget what the spring marathon is called, but
it's like the waterfront, or
that's the one I ran. I ran the waterfront in the fall.
Okay,
and then there was I think at the time there was a something called the Canadian International Marathon, which was a spring marathon, but didn't run that one. And so. After I qualified for Boston, I ran it. That was an enjoyable experience.
And, that's awesome.
And because I had qualified in a fall marathon, I was able to run. I was qualified for Boston 2 years in a row. However, I injured myself again, and this becomes a recurring theme with. As you pursue the goal, you have to put in more mileage. If you want to get better, you put in more mileage. And my body was starting to break down as a result of the mileage. So I was to gear up for a marathon, I was doing, 13-week programs or 15-week programs and piling on 50 to 70 miles a week.
Oh, my gosh.
Short runs, medium runs, tempo runs, speed runs, long runs. And I was paying for it in terms of my body. And I guess I deluded myself by thinking the only way I'm going to get better is to run more. More mileage, and I wasn't taking care of the rest of my body, and that started to plague me here and there.
And I do have to ask though if you'll share your marathon PR because I'm super curious.
My PR?
Yeah.
My PR would have been at the waterfront. It would have been up 3:28.
Wow. Oh my gosh!
So,
that's awesome.
That's an awesome time.
Yeah, you've seen those utilities where you can actually take your current marathon time and your current age and then kind of scale it back to what you would have run the marathon in if you were like 22 years old.
Yeah.
Was it like 12, 2 minutes or something?
Mine actually goes up to like 12 hours. It's weird.
Anyway, I was very, very happy to have qualified for Boston. I'm happy to have done it twice. But after the second time I ran it, I thought, my body, I can't take this anymore. So I cut over from, I loved cardio. I loved running, but I knew that it wasn't going to be long before I did something that was going to be a permanent injury. So I cut over to cycling. And road cycling, and got myself a nice Italian bike. My mom helped me pick it out, she got me my first my first kit, which is the clothes you wear, that tight Lycra stuff that you wear. And so it was great. And my buddies, ex hockey buddies, were into cycling as well. So a group of us started to ride a lot. And we've done a few things over the years with respect to going to destinations. And we actually came down. Now, Gretchen, weren't you the Corn Princess of Iowa 1 year?
So when I think this was right when we first started. When I first started at our company, we were going down to visit Aunt Dawn. In Hoopston.
The Corn Jerkers.
And the Corn Jerkers. And so I made the mistake of telling Lou that I was going to Hoopston for a corn festival. And ever since then, I have been the Corn Princess of Illinois.
Fantastic. I didn't know I was living with royalty.
You are. Yes. So, yes.
So we went down and did the Ragbri, which is a cross-state ride across Iowa a couple of times.
We have a poster up on our wall right now of the Ragbri.
Are you serious?
Yes, oh we do.
Yeah, we're staring at a Ragbri poster right now. I did not get that poster from riding it yet. Oh, it is on my bucket list.
Yeah, that is.
But I, having the wine business, there was a customer who had a Ragbri team called Team Gourmet.
Yep.
And I would give them some wine for the ride. And so he brought me, a poster 1 year. He brought me a cycling jersey. So I've got like Ragbri stuff, even though I've never rode Ragbri. And it was actually one of my questions. I don't prep for these things, as you could probably tell by listening to one episode. But one of them was, hey, when you went to Iowa, did you ride Ragbri?
Yes, 2 years running, and one year Lance was at the Ragbri. It was I think the first year of his retirement. He came to visit Ragbri, and we not rode with Lance, but he was in the of course you're riding with 12,000 people, so you're not going to see Lance, but he was there that year. It was a lot of fun. Every year the route's a little bit different, and so we did it in 2008 and 2010. It was a lot of fun.
The poster is 2008, Lou.
Really?
I kid you not. We will take a picture, put it in the show notes. She'll take a picture and send it to you.
Yeah.
It is the 2008 July 20 to 26th Register's annual Great Bicycle Ride Across Iowa, 471
that was
miles.
That was the one that Lance was at, and we saw a band in Cedar Rapids?
Cedar Rapids. Uh huh.
Where do the Cyclones play? Or the
Iowa State?
Is that Ames?
Iowa City? Or is that Ames? I don't know.
I think wherever the university is or college is at Ames, we stopped there one night and Lance made an appearance on the stage and Styx was playing.
Chicago's own.
Chicago's own.
Chicago's own. Yes.
So many connections.
So, just to progress, I've been riding. I still ride today, and we're just planning a trip to Italy this fall with the guys. And,
I'm always jealous of your vacations.
It is Iowa State.
It is Iowa State. What city is it? Is it in Ames?
Ames.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm always jealous of your vacations. You always go on some amazing ones, and
yeah, we were fortunate, and they also involve wine, Pete, as well. And I'm sure you've been to many of these places, but we did France 1 year, we did Spain 1 year, and this time it'll be Italy.
And your wife rides with you guys, like she rides as well, right?
She has ridden. She doesn't ride with us. I think she's basically given it up, but
retired.
But retired, yes. And in fact, perhaps after this year, after doing some major mountains, we might retire from doing mountain riding. But we'll see. So that consumes my time in the summer and then in the fall. But I guess all this is a kind of a preamble to the fact that I had been noticing in the last few years a loss of muscle mass. I had been noticing the fact that I was my diet hadn't been very good, noticing that again more susceptible to injuries, and there was all these other things, bad sleep. I think that's stress related, Gretchen, right?
Especially this time of year.
Yeah. And digestion problems and a certain amount of fogginess in the brain, and that's not just old age. and so I thought, you know, something's really wrong here, and I better make a kind of a step change in what I was doing. I had just completed, you know, 17, 18 years of mainly cardio workouts. I could eat anything I wanted, but I wasn't moving the needle in terms of my weight, and I think my body composition was changing. It wasn't changing for the better. So I had to less muscle and more fat. So I had to make some life changes. And so, right around June of 2018, I embarked on a program. I went keto, then, and so altered my diet. And, in the fall, I altered my exercise routine to focus more on strength and stability, balance and flexibility, and less on endurance. The endurance, of course, provided by cardio. So I altered the mix of my workouts, altered my diet, and not because I was going to run any more PRs in my life, but more because my main concern now is my longevity and my stability. I had a sense that. With the loss of muscle mass and with the lack of development of strength, especially in my lower body, that I set myself up, or I would set myself up for some problems later in life. So made those changes and continue to tweak the program, both diet and exercise, so that I'm now working on functional fitness as opposed to performance fitness. Again, the days of the personal bests are gone. I don't need to worry about that anymore. It's more of, am I doing the right things to set me up so that I'm doing daily activity the way I've always done daily activity, and am I able to do those daily activities going into the future? So my caution to you, Pete, is although you're going to get a thrill this Sunday, and you're going to exceed your expectations, if you're going to just don't forget about the rest of your body and don't focus solely on mileage. Make sure you mix things up and create balance in your routine and your workouts, because you don't want your body failing you in the next, you know, 15 to 20 years.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's interesting for a couple of reasons. One, I'm not doing that many miles, but I still can't eat anything I want. Like, I've reverted to kind of some old habits over the last several weeks, and it's not been pretty, you know, in terms of how I feel, my waistline. I don't like it. So, you know, we'll have some adjustments to make, you know, soon after. And I had my prep call today with my coach, Andy.
Yep.
And I said to him when he was talking about, like, okay, have you thought about, like, what comes after? And my answer, you know, was a couple of races that I've got on the calendar, which I'm not going for any kind of speed records on. They're more just kind of have fun and actually run with some people. And then I actually brought up the fact that I need to do cycling and cross training and strength training. And, you know, I know how to do it because years ago, I've mentioned it probably before on the air, I studied to be a certified personal trainer with NASM. So, like, I get all the functional fitness. I just don't do the functional fitness.
That's always a big piece.
Yeah. You don't want to have a scare. I mean, you don't want to, obviously you're doing well with cardio right now, and you will continue to do well with cardio, but you need to mix it up and you really need to work on, because the change in your body composition is going to come whether you like it or not. You will lose muscle mass if you don't work it, and you don't keep up with it. And, if you lose that muscle mass, quickly, it really alters your stability, your body stability. And you really need to keep that up, in order to ensure that you don't become susceptible to accidents. I mean, if you look at the causes of death in North America, today, at the top of the list is heart and stroke, cancer number two, neurodegenerative diseases number three, and then unintended injuries is number four. All those things maybe not so much the neurodegenerative, but heart and stroke, cancer, heart and stroke, most definitely you can alter with fitness and diet. Cancer, you can alter the risks with diet. And unintentional injuries, there's things you can do to lower that risk. And I guess that's what I'm about right now is if I need to think of myself surviving to age 85 and beyond, you know, what are the things I'm doing to my body now to set me up so that my quality of life at 85 is going to be good? I don't want to be 85 in front of a TV or limited in mobility. I want to be active. And in that sense, that's what kind of geared me towards changing both my diet and my exercise routines. So that's my only message today. My objectives have changed over time. Back in the early 2000s, it was I have a life goal I have to achieve by running a marathon. Then it became I'm going to spend the next 3 or 4 or 5 years chasing personal bests, and now it's altered. One more time after a brief sojourn into cycling, into one of longevity. And what am I doing now to set myself up for the time that I spend post the age of 80?
Well, and with the way modern medicine is, it prolongs life in a way that's unprecedented, right? So as we get more advancements in science, we need to find ways to physically be better off and mentally better off, right? Because, I mean, that's probably the thing that worries me the most is the mental aspect of it. So, I mean, it's interesting to hear when you talk about, you know, most people talk about keto, they're talking about weight loss. I think that might have been a sidebar for you.
Yeah, that was a byproduct for me. It was more my biggest concern was really digestion first. And it has helped my digestion. And then it was really sleep patterns, and keto did not help my sleep pattern. stress has helped my sleep, or lack of stress has helped my sleep pattern, or minimizing stress has helped my sleep pattern. Fogginess has kind of gone away. My mid-afternoon fogginess is, my decision making is clearer, focus is better.
Isn't that because, you know, you've cut out the afternoon shots of, you know, of whiskey and stuff?
Canadian whiskey?
Yeah.
Canadian, yes. I have, you know, and thankfully, the pipeline of really, really good California wine through you people has not been cut off. So I get to experience that as well.
So are you like keto-ish? I mean, it sounds like you're, are you still partaking in wine and such?
I started in the spring, or sorry, when in June, I was strict by the book, standard keto, 75% fats, 20% protein, 5% carbs, and I was only drink, and I went, I had no alcohol for about a month and a half.
Yeah.
That was easy because I had just come off a cruise in the Danube in Europe, and I needed to do
So you
something.
need a detox anyways.
Yes, I
That's
did
kind of
need
how
to
we
do something.
started too. We got off the cruise of Alaska and we detoxed for over a month of no wine or anything. That's funny.
So that was easy, and then I went on to white liquors. So it was vodka and gin for. And then finally, 2 months after that, I went back to beer. I mean, that's the hardest part of keto for me is the alcohol. I don't have cravings for food. I can survive with the diet I have right now. I've granted my lovely wife Maggie a favor by saying I'll have carbs once a week. I'll have pasta once a week. On a cheat day, but
Yeah.
I cannot seem to kick the need to have a couple of drinks on the weekend. And so I allow myself to do that, and I don't think I'm suffering for it, but
No.
I'm not proud of it either. So
Well,
You should be.
we've adopted. I mean, there's not many things that I have adopted from Vinnie Tortorich, but one of them is the life into living motto. Like, not looking at it as cheating so much as every once in a while you got to put life into living.
Yeah.
Right.
So there's definitely nothing wrong with that. So
Yeah.
yeah. So the keto's been great. I mean, it's and I'm not sure if you've adopted it as well, or some subset of keto or anything, but I found it was easy to start and easy to maintain. Yes, I had
Yeah.
2 or 3 days of the keto flu, but it's been fine.
Yeah, we had the key. We started. We're not. It's not so much keto for us. It's more no sugar, no grains, high fat. Is what we've been doing, and but we did suffer the keto flu the first week. So both of us going through that at the same time was not good for Michaela, I feel.
No, that would have been
But she survived. It's all good.
good.
So I've got to rewind too on this. I mean, to completely change the subject, I let you gloss over it for a moment at the beginning, but growing up a baseball fan in Southern Ontario, who was your team?
My team was the Baltimore Orioles.
Oh.
I was a big Orioles fan through the mid-60s, right through till, I guess, when they won it in '83 or whenever. Well, Ripken, Eddie Murray, that team. I was a big Earl Weaver fan. I was a big. They
I
had
know none
great
of these
pitching
people.
staffs. It was, and mind you, up here, Pete, it was the days of, 1966. We didn't get our first color TV till 1968. But at that point in time, you had the game of the week, the NBC game of the week, with Kurt Gowdy and Tony Kubek. And we never saw Cubs games up here, although we had a Canadian pitcher on the Cubs who was very, very successful, Ferguson Jenkins, in the Hall of Fame.
Oh.
But I really had the Orioles in my sights until the Blue Jays got good in the early 80s,
I feel
or
like you had
kind
a
of.
different team that you thought he was going to say.
Well, I mean, proximity wise, I'm like, well, maybe it's Boston, maybe it's the
No.
Yankees, right? I mean,
Oh, okay.
because you're
No, it wasn't them. I guess the closest team would be Detroit, and I never liked
Detroit.
Detroit.
Yeah.
Well,
I
nobody
like
likes
Sparky.
Detroit.
I like Sparky, but I didn't like Detroit.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to get hate mail for that, so.
Yeah,
Well, I mean, the Blue Jays come in and like what? As an expansion in like 77, right? So, and they
Yeah.
got
And it took them a while to get good. I mean, it took them probably a good 10 to 15 years to get good, and it was fun. It was fun when they were at the top of the league, and
back-to-back World Series champions.
yeah, that's
Joe
right.
the Joe
And
Carter years.
the Joe Carter years, yes. I've got a baseball bat here signed by Rance Mullinix, who was our third
Oh.
baseman for many, many years. But anyway,
Look at that.
I
Sorry,
digress.
we'll have to we're gonna have bonus footage of me geeking out on baseball
I
with Lou.
digress. And football, I guess I'm a Pats fan now, but back in the day, I was a big Bears fan. I was a big Bears fan.
What made you change your mind?
I guess, you know, the Pats got good. I started with Pittsburgh, then I went with that awesome defense you guys had, and was it 85?
85, where yep. we beat the Pats 46-10 in the Super Bowl.
Yes.
Who had an Illinois connection? I believe Tony Eason was the quarterback for that Patriots team, and that he went to University of Illinois.
Oh my
you
gosh.
Think the listeners are rolling their eyes right now?
Many. Well, so Lou, I mean, you haven't listened to many of our episodes. I'm pretty sure they roll their eyes anytime I talk anyway. Okay. So it's nothing new.
That's really my story. My only counsel to you, Pete, is, and I think your coach was right in sitting you down and say, so what happens next, Pete? What happens, you know, on Wednesday of next week when you want to go for that first run, and you know, what's going to be that next thing you're going to look towards? Take your time, obviously, and in recovery, and think about what your future is going to hold. My only counsel is, you know, make sure you have a varied exercise program that doesn't, you know, it's not 85% cardio, but you mix in some other stuff in there as well.
Yeah. And you've been wanting to do that. Now it's just a matter, I think, like once you get past the marathon, like that was kind of your thought process is like, and I probably should do some stuff too, maybe. I don't know.
Well, yeah.
get off the couch every once in a while.
Well, the other thing that having this harsh of a winter in terms of cold and ice and
yeah.
just, it was crazy. And
No slips and falls this year, Pete?
One. Wow. Okay. I had one, and I went down pretty hard on my shoulder, and it hurt. It still hurts, actually, a little bit. But I was lucky because the way I was falling, I was going to go back on, like, I was going to land head first on it. And I, because of the fact that I've at least become somewhat athletic again, I was able to kind of twist and tuck. And hit my shoulder instead. And I'd much rather hurt my shoulder a little bit than, I mean, I really don't have that many brain cells to be playing with here. So a head hit would not have been good.
No, that would have been good. No, I don't think that. So, I wasn't even home for it. So that would have been really bad.
No, you weren't. You weren't home at the time. So, you know, but it's got me thinking more about the other things that I enjoy. Like I really enjoy long hikes. I enjoy long bike rides. I enjoy the rowing machine.
Yeah.
You know, so I just need to do those other things.
I got one for you, Pete.
Yeah?
Pickleball.
I used to love pickleball.
Are you serious? I threw that out kind of in jest. But
then
I kind of loved it, though.
Oh, really? Okay.
You know, the recreation center over here has like a pickleball like adults team or something like that. I see it on the marquee every once in a while.
Maybe I'll be looking at getting into it. You know who played that was my dad.
Oh, yeah?
For years at the club, they would put a pickleball thing like over the tennis courts.
I don't even know if I know what pickleball is.
I think it was like during the fall winter months.
What is it? What is it?
It's really like tennis on a quarter size court with a ball that doesn't bounce nearly as much as a tennis ball. So you Google it. It's very popular in Florida.
It sounds sounds like it could be painful.
So he described it as a miniaturized tennis. I describe it as a like you stand on the ping pong table and play.
Yeah.
Wow.
But
that's interesting.
It could be fun.
Okay.
You know, but in the end, I'm not sure it's cross training as much. But
No. And you don't want to start your pickleball career too early, Pete. You probably want to be mid-60s when you start.
So we played that in high school. Like, that was one of the high school things.
You were an old soul. You were an old soul.
Well, it's not like I asked to play it. I mean, that was just one of the things that Denny Denman gave us to play at one point in time. So
that's funny.
Shout out to my OF listeners out there. The two people.
The two people.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
oh my
fantastic.
Gosh.
Well, Lou, I think the story is fantastic because I think what it was that's a little different is you kind of kept yourself in shape. You had maybe a slight bit of excess weight, but it was more of body composition than actual weight. And, you know, you've utilized exercise and now a diet and exercise program that's evolved to stay healthy. And it's super inspiring to me. And Gretchen's going, well, why would anybody run that many marathons?
I think that often. Why would someone run like 50, 60 miles a week? That's just crazy.
Well, you've been working with Lou all these years. Like, has your opinion of him gone up after this interview? Like, where are we with this?
It's the time to do a marathon. I mean, you can only my body can only take two a year, and I can only do two a year for a very, very short window of time. So the wear and tear was just too great. It may have been different had I started in my 20s. Maybe I would have, and had I done the requisite research. But I started in my 50s or late 40s, and the miles add up and the injuries add up, and it's just not a lot of fun being an injured runner. And so you've got to find other things to consume your time. And if you find other things, that they might help you be a better runner.
Right.
And it's not all about mileage. It's about, working on all the support systems and all the mechanisms, whether it be through muscle and bone, to just set you up to be a better runner and to survive the muscle mass that a loss that you're going to have naturally as you age. So,
well, it sounds great.
Yep.
I think we can wrap it up here. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks, Lou.
Okay, you guys
it.
Take care and good luck this weekend, Pete. I hear it's a flat course down by the water.
It is very, very, it's pancake flat.
Okay, good luck.
Awesome. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, we're back, and I thought that was a really fun interview with Lou.
I agree. He's a great guy. He really is.
So you didn't get to answer this because Lou, he had something he wanted to say. But
right.
Like your opinion of Lou, did it change knowing all of this? Like,
No. I always saw Lou as... Like,
I didn't mean to go down. It could have gone up.
No.
You took that
I've
negative.
Always, no. I've always seen him as like this. It is kind of interesting because I always saw him as this healthy person. Like whenever we would get together, he was always very healthy, and like I never really saw him eat like, what quote unquote junk food, right? Like he just wasn't that person. So it was kind of interesting to hear him talk about how and he's always been like, and he said it, he's always been like this, a skinny man, but for him a few extra pounds he could tell and stuff. So I always describe Lou as like a math professor. Like he's very smart and he's always very pointed and he tells you, I mean, he's a great guy. He's a great guy to work with. So I'm very happy.
Tweed jacket with elbow patches?
No, he didn't though. But he's he wears the glasses and
a pipe?
I could totally see him smoking pipe. I could totally see him smoking pipe.
It goes to show that weight loss isn't just for people who happen to be like really overweight, right?
No.
For somebody like Lou, it's about a change in body composition.
Yep.
So maybe the weight stays the same, the body composition changes, or it goes down slightly with the change in body composition. But
exactly.
I thought his approach and his attitude was fantastic. And I love the idea of the fact that he wants to get down on the floor and play with, kids and great grandkids, as they get older. So
he's got grandkids that are young and they come over for many days at a time and he's exhausted. So I think that was a big motivator for him. So
That's awesome. Well, thanks again, Lou, for coming on. We really appreciate it. And that's going to do it for episode 65 of the Fat Man Chronicles. The music is You Got Me Wrong by Safar. You can find us on social media at Fat Man Stories, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Our website is fatmanchronicles.com, where you will find the blog that I do on a weekly basis now. I've kept up with that.
Yep.
Feel pretty good about it. And you could see our episodes, and we'll start sharing other news there. Please subscribe on your platform of choice, wherever you get your podcasts. And if you happen to be on Apple Podcasts, leave us a rating and review. It really does help. We want to thank our patrons, Amy, John, Christine, Linda, Rob, Julie, we couldn't do this without you, and we really appreciate it. If you want to become a patron, there's information on the Podbean site or at fatmanchronicles.com. And finally, you can hit the shop button, get yourself some swag. I'll be repping out there with some FMC swag during the marathon. So that's like a really long, slow-moving billboard is basically what we have there.
Yep.
But that is going to wrap it up for episode 65. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Share the episode with somebody you like or maybe you don't like a lot and you want to torture them a little bit. But otherwise, get out there and be better today.
really